It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is November 23rd, 2021. And that, my friends, means that it is Tuesday. Tuesday. We gotta remember that. It is not...
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Mm-mm.
Uh-oh.
Nope, don't worry. Don't get your hopes up. It is Tuesday. And in the United States, Thanksgiving is on Thursday, which means today is the day I have to be sure and try to go to the grocery store or order some food online because, a lot of places are going to be closed on Thursday. So we'll see how that goes. In Marcus news, just to get you guys caught up, I'm going to go ahead and come into Calm. Calm is the chat program used on SDF. You just SSH over to SDF. If you don't have an account, just SSH is new, N-E-W, at SDF.org, and you can sign up for an account. And then once you're all signed up, you can use tty.sdf.org to just kind of bounce around to all sorts of different hosts. Pick whichever host on the cluster fits your vibe, you know. But it's a lot of fun. And once you're there, you're just going to go ahead and run Calm. COM, and then you're going to press G for go to, and then anon radio, all lowercase. Boom. And you'll be in Calm. I was actually already in Calm in TMUX session that I had running. Whoops. Hello, hello, MJD and Claudio M. It looks like SMJ. Hello, hello. Tobe walked away to prepare, but Publius, hello, X1. All the cool folks in chat. I sure am excited to see you guys, and thank you for being here. Let's see. Anyway, lots of interesting stuff going on in Calm, but we're focusing today instead on the news. It's news time. It's completely news time. You can go to anonradio.net or press the equal sign in Calm to see what's going on now and what time it is, all kinds of stuff there. So, now that that's all out of the way, let's go ahead, dash A. RUP time dash A will show all the public hosts, and that'll be, RUPTIME space dash A, and that will show you all the hosts, which can be really cool and helpful when you're new and you're just looking to see which ones you might want to go to. Let's see. Yeah, cool. There's a whole bunch of them. Pretty rad. All right. Let's get this show on the road, and we start the way we pretty much always start, and that, my friends, is the world news.
World news.
All right. So, first up, some explosions and death, of course. That's how we always start. Bulgaria bus crash. Children among at least 46 killed. At least 46 people, including 12 children, died when a bus crashed and caught fire in western Bulgaria. The bus was registered in North Macedonia, and most of those on board were tourists returning from a trip to Istanbul in Turkey. It rammed a crash barrier on motorway southwest of the capital of Sofia at about 200 local time, or 00 GMT. Seven people escaped from the bus and were taken to hospital with burns. Four-year-old twin boys were among those killed in the crash. Bulgarian Interior Minister Boyko Rashkov visited the terrifying scene and said the survivors had been badly burned. It's a terrible way to live. The cause of the disaster was not immediately clear. Bulgarian officials described how the bus swerved off the motorway and tore away a 50-meter or 164-foot section of the crash barrier, but it was unclear if that was before or after it caught on fire. Pictures of the aftermath showed a section of the road where the barrier had been shorn off. No other vehicles were involved in the incident. Yeah. Hello, Unimagine. Welcome, welcome. Pictures showed the road where it was, where the damage had happened. I'm going to post a link to that image in Calm. Another reason to be in Calm. All right. So, that's kind of what's going on there. The victims haven't been officially named, but officials said they included 12 children and many young people between 20 and 30. A young couple were due to be married among those killed. And as always, it's like with these kind of stories, it's sad. But that's... anyway, there's just tons of people that were killed. This is a terrible tragedy there. And the rest of the story is kind of humanizing the people that were killed. So get this. This is something that I didn't realize was running around still, but apparently so. There are a lot of child soldiers in the world, and that means people that are like under 18, oftentimes like before puberty, who are soldiers. They're given issued grown people. So that they can do that. Oh, the URL is quite long. But sure, Bob Junkman, it's https://, India Charlie Hotel Echo Foxtrot dot Bravo, Boy Charlie India dot CO dot Charlie Oscar dot Uniform Kilo / News / 976 / CPS PRODPB 4/4F66/ Production / _12172302_BULG.JPG. Oh. sorry, thanks, Bob Junkman. That would have been significantly shorter. sdf.org/l/dx. So that's L like Lima, / DX like... now read the URL in Daniel's voice. Com is a trip. Anyway, I'm sorry for that, but yeah, sdf.org/l/dx, and you can see the image that I was talking about, at least as long as the BBC has that floating around. All right, so we were talking about child soldiers, and that's, so let's do this. More than 21,000 children are recruited by government forces and armed groups in conflict-hit regions during the past 5 years, according to UNICEF. West and Central Africa is the region with the highest number of child soldiers in the world, as well as the most underage victims of sexual violence, according to a new report by the United Nations Children's Fund. Since 2016, the region has been hit by growing conflict in which more than 21,000 children have been recruited. In addition, more than 2,200 children have been verified as victims of sexual violence during the past 5 years. Meanwhile, some 3,500 children have been abducted, making it the region with the second highest abductions in the world, where there have been at least 1,500 attacks on schools and hospitals. Overall, the UN's Children's Agency said more than 57 million children in the region are in need of humanitarian assistance, a number that has doubled since last year as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Whether children in West and Central Africa are the direct targets or collateral victims, they are caught up in conflict and face violence and insecurity, says Marie-Pierre Poirier, UNICEF's Regional Director for West and Central Africa. So, yeah, it's tough being a kid in Central Africa, Central and West Africa, and just absolutely, it's just absolutely terrible stuff going on there. And in Burkina Faso, Human Rights Watch says 350,000 children are not going to school. So yeah, just wild, wild stuff going on there. Well, don't worry. If you're not in Africa and a kid, you could still become a child soldier if you really want to. Or if you're in Mexico, you can join into this fresh nightmare. Parents in southern Mexico say they're being threatened by a gang after their children's nursery won 20 million pesos, which is 950,000 US dollars, in a lottery. The nursery has just over 24 pupils, and their parents were put in charge of administering the prize. Soon after their win was made public, they received threats from an armed group which demanded that they use the money to buy weapons for the gang. The families say they had to flee their village and have been living rough, which means they're living just out in the woods without any tents or anything. Gang violence is rife in Mexico, and armed groups often try to recruit locals in their fighting with rivals for control of territory. A number of the 500 peso tickets in Mexico's much-publicized plane lottery PLANE lottery, and the lottery ticket has a picture of a plane on it. Plane lottery were bought by anonymous benefactors and donated to poor schools and nurseries across the country. The Mexican state organized the lottery after a previous plan to raffle off the presidential plane to raise funds for hospital supplies had been shelved because it was deemed impractical. A list of the 100 winners was announced in September 2020 and published in newspapers. The tiny nursery in the indigenous village of Ocosingo was among the winners. While the windfall was cause for celebration at first, the problem started soon after news spread. Members of the Parents Association say that they started receiving threats from a group called Los Petules, which demanded that the prize money be used to buy guns for the gang, which reportedly planned to attack a rival group in a neighboring village. Jeez Louise. The parents refused and instead spent part of the money on a new roof for the nursery. The threats increased this year when the parents decided to use the remaining 14 million pesos for works to improve the village. In March, one father was shot by gang members who demanded he hand over the prize money. Last month, the situation escalated further when the gang reportedly attacked women and children in the village, causing 28 families to flee. One member of the Parents Association said the community had lost cattle, our homes, refrigerators, our corn and bean harvest, and our chickens. Spokesman for the family said they'd alerted the local authorities to the plight, but unless the gang was disarmed and dissolved, they would not be able to return to their homes. So, the plane lottery is pretty neat idea, but that's just... In a lawless area, it's extra dangerous. I don't know. Some states in the United States have rules about not disclosing who lottery winners are. And this would be a good case to not do that in Mexico. All right. Well, we've been having a good time.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
This guy over here is always in my ear wanting me to play music. We get one song per show. Usually, unless I'm feeling spicy. So, that's coming up here in just a few. We've got to do a COVID update, though, because we've got three quick COVID stories. First, tragic death that hindered Georgia's COVID vaccination campaign. So, as you know, Europe is having a heck of a time getting people vaccinated, just like a lot of the West. Well, it was 4:30 in the afternoon, and Munuchar Kobuk Kidzi got the call that everyone dreads. It was a co-worker from the hospital where his wife worked. "Your wife is a little unwell," they told him on the phone. "Can you come to Akhaltiski?" It's spelled A-K-H-A-L-T-S-I-K-H-E. So I'm not totally sure how to pronounce that. Atalsik, we'll say Atalsik, referring to the Emedi Clinic in the small city in southern Georgia. When he arrived at the hospital, Kobakidze was met by crying staff. I said, "Where's Meggie?" Then a guard took me up to the second floor. She was just lying there, unresponsive on the bed. I wouldn't wish a thing upon my worst enemy. Oh, crap. Hold on. Sorry. Went down the wrong pipe there. Just hours earlier, his wife, a 28-year-old nurse, had been filmed by an assortment of Georgian media. "I call on everyone to take this vaccine," she said in front of the cameras. As a health worker, Bekradze was in the first wave of people in country to get vaccinated, an initiative that had started just 3 days earlier. 20 minutes after receiving her shot of the AstraZeneca vaccine, Bekradze became seriously ill, an extremely rare allergic reaction that occurs in only a few people out of a million and is usually easily treatable. Unable to treat the severity of her condition, the provincial clinic had Bekradze transferred by ambulance to the better-equipped First University Clinic at Tbilisi State Medical University. She arrived at 7:45 p.m., and by midnight she was dead. Seeing her so ill in the hospital bed was too much for her husband. He went to an adjacent room in the clinic and smashed the place up. He was arrested and taken to the local police precinct. After he was released, he rushed to Tbilisi and arrived shortly before his wife died. Meggie Bekradze's death and the investigation that followed has been headline news in Georgia for months. Yeah, she died. She straight died. Georgia for a month, widely discussed in publics and on social media. With the country recently facing a surge in COVID-19 cases, reverberations from her death are still being felt, with talk of that girl that died, fueling the fears of a population already hesitant about vaccination. And nowhere are those fears more pronounced than in her home village, where her family is still waiting for answers as to how their daughter, wife, and mother died. So, this was a story that just briefly passed through the headline, through the news cycle back initially when this happened, but it's still causing trouble. The rest of the piece kind of goes into the her life and how good she was and all of that. There's disagreement about whether she received epinephrine. The CDC recommends medical staff immediately treat suspected cases of anaphylaxis with epinephrine. While it differs in various countries, people receiving coronavirus vaccines are usually asked to sit and wait for between 15 and 45 minutes so they can be observed and treated in the event of both minor and major allergic reactions. The head doctor at the clinic, who had also passed an allergy management training course, said she knew that Bekradzi had become incapacitated after the vaccine and that the nurse gave her adrenaline in seconds. That claim's been disputed, so we'll see how that all plays out. But in general, the uptake of vaccines in Georgia are really hindered by this person dying. And this was from the AstraZeneca vaccine, which a lot of people have gotten rid of it. And they said it's one in millions, so who knows? Probably a few, maybe a few hundred people. That'd be interesting statistic to find. They stopped giving out this vaccine because of the heart. There were a few other side effects. Anyway, sorry, this took longer than I thought, but it's just very tragic and one of the data points, because then 7 doctors have contracted COVID after attending a Florida anti-vaccine summit. People that should have known better. 7 anti-vaccine doctors fell sick after gathering earlier this month for a Florida summit at which alternative treatments for COVID-19 were discussed. "I've been on ivermectin for 16 months, my wife and I," Dr. Bruce Boros told the audience at the event. "I've never felt healthier in my life." The 71-year-old cardiologist and staunch anti-vaccine advocate contracted COVID-19 2 days later and fell dead, probably. Little, an Ocala family physician, also told the Daily Beast 6 other doctors among 800 to 900 participants at the event also tested positive or developed COVID-19 within days of the conference. Little raised the suggestion the conference was therefore a super spreader event, but rejected it, vehemently saying no. Only 900 people got infected at this one event. No big deal. I think they had gotten it from New York or Michigan or wherever they were from. It's really the people who flew in from other places. Yeah, this is rational man here. Anyway, the FDA says people should never use medication intended for animals on yourself or other people. Animal ivermectin products are very different from those approved for human use. Use of animal ivermectin for the prevention or treatment of COVID-19 in humans is dangerous. Just don't do it. It's a bad idea. It's just a terrible idea. And everyone who seems to say otherwise gets sick and then immediately changes their tune if they don't die gasping for breath. COVID deaths in Europe top 2 million by March, says the WHO. Total deaths across Europe from COVID-19 are likely to exceed 2 million people by March next year, the World Health Organization said, adding that the pandemic had become the number one cause of death in the region. Reported deaths have risen to nearly 4,200 a day, double the number being recorded in September, while cumulative reported deaths in the region, which includes the UK, have already surpassed 1.5 million. Describing the situation as very serious, the WHO said it expected higher extreme stress on hospitals in 25 of the region's 53 countries, with intensive care units in 49 countries set to come under similar strain. On current trends, the region's cumulative death toll would surpass 2.2 million by March 1st, it said. So, as Europe becomes the center of the pandemic, with tighter controls mainly on the unvaccinated and heated debate in several countries, we talked about that yesterday, the increase in cases is being driven by the highly transmissible Delta variant, which is now dominant across the region, fueled by widespread relaxation of preventative measures such as mask wearing and physical distancing. With more and more people gathering indoors in the colder late autumn weather, a large number still not vaccinated, and vaccine efficacy against severe forms of the disease waning, many people are left vulnerable to the virus. So, all of us have the opportunity and responsibility to help avert unnecessary tragedy and loss of life and limit disruption, further disruption to society and business over this winter season by avoiding the last resort of lockdowns and school closures. So, that's basically the story to get it out there. While I look for a song, I do want to mention something that might be interesting to Publius and other people who are interested interested in power and energy. Libya's Minister of Oil and Gas on Monday announced plans to construct a solar power plant with French multinational Total Energies. Mohamed Oun was speaking at the launch of a Libya Energy and Economic Summit in Tripoli, aimed at discussing energy security issues as a way of solving existing crises and providing solutions to develop the sector. We seek to encourage the investment of oil wealth, its good exploitation and development, and the increase of production capacity to increase production and compensate for lost production due to natural decline. That will be through development drilling and the increase of oil production. The 2021 summit, endorsed by the Government of National Unity and backed by the National Oil Corporation and Libya's Ministry of Oil and Gas, is the country's first international energy event in nearly a decade and seeks to advance foreign capital, technology, and expertise in the energy series. Yeah, and you're right, Publius. It probably wasn't a great idea to open up discotheques in October, for sure. That's 100% correct. All right, so today we're going to play a song from a band called 311, which is a band that was popular in the 90s, early 2000s. But what I like about the band is that they are from Omaha, Nebraska. And so anyway, it's fun. I like them a lot. Anyway, this is a song they had. I don't know if a lot of people liked it. I thought it was cool. It's called Long for the Flowers.
Between this world and the next, never-ending infernal process, yeah, where is that bliss?
Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right, and SDF is... And non-radio is powered by SDF, and SDF is powered by you! Alright. Also, don't worry, at 1930 UTC, which is just in about 5 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a wonderfully irreverent show full of synthesizers and dudes, depending on what time of year it is, as well as ghost bears, golf balls, and lots of other stuff. Tons of fun. Unfortunately, So anyway, that is what's happening there. All right, let's go ahead and run through some of these headlines, because there are a lot of them, and I want to share, get them out so you guys can see it. Hey, DJ Snowdesk in the comm chat. Shout out to him. If you want to hear the Intergalactic Wasabi Mix, that is a fantastic show. Happens every Friday, or excuse me, every Saturday and Sunday at 2300 UTC. So check that out. It's an hour long, and it's full of fun times. All right. Yeah, DGC is a wonderfully irreverent. Irreverent. Okay, Snowdesk is always listening, so kind of like Publius used to be. Publius, wherever you are, sorry, not Publius, Jazzmaz. I am, what is going on? I've hit something on my, I've hit some kind of magic key combination. Hold on. One moment.
Resistance is futile.
Okay, and let's try and fix that. Okay, there we go. I see Publius. My bad. What was I doing? Oh, I was trying to read comm and talk. That's never a good idea. We're going to take a deep breath and just remember.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
All right, let's go ahead and get this going. We've got a few headlines to go, and I've burned a bunch of time by being silly and dumb, not knowing what the heck's going on. All right, headlines. We are focused. Let's go. Waukesha Christmas Parade. The guy that ran over all those people, he's been charged with 5 counts of homicide, but officials charged 39-year-old Daryl Brooks with 5 counts of intentional homicide. And it was real. He was released from jail. Reports say Mr. Brooks has been charged 3 times in less than 2 years with recklessly endangering the safety of others. That was part of a domestic abuse incident for which he was also charged while resisting or obstructing an officer and had been released on a bail of just $1,000. On Monday, he was praying. Joe Biden's praying for the community. The state's bail recommendation in this case was inappropriate low in the light of the nature of the recent charges and the pending charges against Mr. Brooks, said the Office of the Milwaukee County District Attorney. The bail recommendation in this case is not consistent with the approach of the District Attorney's Office towards matters involving violent crime, nor was it consistent with the risk assessment of the defendant. So, his bail was only $1,000, and people were a little freaked out because, if, I don't know if you know this, but if you get a bail bondsman, oftentimes you give the bail bondsman 10% and then they go ahead and pay the rest for you, plus their fee. So it would have been like $100 plus some to walk out of there. Ah, little quackers. I like this. Calm is great fun. Definitely check it out if you get a chance. What else is happening? Well, The Guardian has a great article. Oh, we're going to run out of time. I spaced. All right. Well, that'll be all the time then we have for today. There were some other stories, including an explosion in Flint, Michigan, where 3 people are missing. And Putin is hosting a meeting with Armenian and Azerbaijani leaders in Sochi. But yeah, we'll talk about more stuff tomorrow.
That means that our time's coming.
Enjoy your quack oats.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
1-6